What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I am Mike Spofford. He is my partner in crime, Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, I want to get to reviewing the Packers preseason opener in San Francisco in just a minute. But after we got back from the West Coast, there was some big news in practice on Sunday. And of course, I'm talking about the activation of three fairly big name players off of PUP who are now practicing with the team for the first time since the start of training camp. And that would be Elgton Jenkins, Bobby Tonyan, and rookie second-round pick at wide receiver Christian Watson. Some really good health news here for the Packers heading into preseason week number two.
I don't know if I've ever recalled a time in which there was so much that happened on a Sunday after a preseason game.
Yeah.
It was incredible. You know, and it was such a, you know, we talked to Matt LaFleur before these practices. So he just got asked the question point blank, do you expect anybody back today? And typically the answer to that is like, well, we're not really sure. We'll see.
Yeah.
Guys are still out or no. For him to actually go, yeah, we're going to get back Elgton Jenkins, Robert Tonyan, and Christian Watson, I think all the media collectively was like, we're not expecting that.
Hello.
Now, LaFleur did cushion it. He said, listen, this is the first step in a process.
Right.
This doesn't mean these guys are going to be practicing a team. It doesn't mean they're going to be in these preseason games. But it is an important step. And for all three of them, it all had different meaning. Elgton Jenkins, he's back on the practice field within 9 months of tearing his ACL.
Unbelievable.
A really incredible recovery for him and hoping to continue to take those next steps back. Robert Tonyan, it's an opportunity for him to make good on what he felt could be, you know, kind of a prove-it year for him after re-signing with the Packers this year. I know 2021 didn't exactly go how he wanted.
Yeah.
But this is a guy that's still only a year removed from 11-touchdown season. And certainly from Christian Watson, the rookie second-round pick, the guy that everyone has so many aspirations for, so high on, for him to get back into the practice fold as well, another critical thing for his development.
Yeah, as you mentioned, nobody's making any promises as to whether these guys will get in any preseason action or even if they'll necessarily be ready for week one. But the fact that they've been activated at this point in the middle of August certainly puts week one, which is September 11th at Minnesota, certainly puts week one on the table for all of them, which is great news. And what we've seen in practice so far, for those who are wondering what is going on with the offensive line, with Jenkins being back, what we have seen in limited appearances so far is that Elgton Jenkins is working at right tackle with the number one offensive line. So we will continue to watch that. If at some point here in training camp, assuming along the line, he'll be getting into the team reps, the 11-on-11, we'll see where he's lining up, if he's playing different spots or if he's locking in on one particular position there.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
That's my game, bro.
But with regard to Christian Watson, the rookie wide receiver, that gives us a nice transition actually into reviewing the preseason game in San Francisco, because two rookie wide receivers made some pretty spectacular plays, but also had their rookie moments in their first game under the lights. And of course, I'm talking about the fourth round pick in Romeo Doubs and also the undrafted rookie Danny Davis out of Wisconsin. We saw Doubs haul in the 33-yard touchdown on the fourth and one early in the ball game, but he also had a drop when he was wide open on a crossing pattern over the middle. Danny Davis makes a tremendous adjustment and catch and then move after the catch to score on a back shoulder throw from Jordan Love. But then later on, he ends up in the red zone. He gets called for lining up offsides on a fourth down that essentially negates a fourth down conversion, and the Packers end up having to settle for a field goal try. So some ups and downs there from the rookies at the wide receiver position, but certainly positive signs that that when those lights turned on at Levi's Stadium, it wasn't too big for those guys.
No, and it all transitioned over. I mean, Samori Toure had three catches for 40-some yards, too. I mean, these young guys that the Packers wanted to see development from and wanted to see them carry over some of the things they'd done in practice, they were able to do that at Levi's Stadium. Romeo Doubs, to be the first one to catch a touchdown pass this preseason, I thought was just so poetic, because he really, even going back to OTAs, this young man has sort of been one of the highlights. And watching him go through the progressions, and as he said, it's all about a steady, gradual process for him. He wants to be able to make an impact as a rookie, but he understands where his situation is and the uphill battle he faces to accomplish that. But for a fourth-round pick, where it isn't always a given what you're getting once you get into day three, this guy's really been able to tune it up. I know he was kind of devastated that he wasn't able to bring in that pass, that out route that he caught. Looked like he caught, but he kind of rolled through it.
And then kind of had it stolen away for an interception there by the really good play by the defender, but one that that you know Doubs is kicking himself that he wasn't able to hang on to.
Yeah, and Sam Womack, a good defensive back and a guy that San Francisco is very high on, made a really heads-up play and had a really nice game against Green Bay. But again, those are things he's going to have to learn from. Danny Davis, I got to say, Mike, I understand that this lining up offsides, you cannot do that, especially in that situation. But to make a route adjustment, playing with, you know, the backup, you know, kind of unit there and working with Jordan Love, that was next level. And that's not the type of stuff you typically see in preseason. And it's also important to recognize that, hey, we're going to see a lot of man coverage. We're going to see a lot of these type of looks. Well, I'm going to take advantage of it a little bit. Davis not only made the adjustment on it, but then also being able to come back for the ball and make the play, just an incredible touchdown.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, those two touchdowns by both Doubs and Davis thrown by Jordan Love. The stat line also has three interceptions for Jordan Love. It was certainly a performance. He played the entire first half, a performance in which he had his ups and downs, but to the eye test, and it was confirmed by Matt LaFleur both at halftime and after the game, the first two of those three interceptions, it's really hard to put on the young man at quarterback. The first one, it's in the red zone. It's a slant pass to the tight end. A throw appears to be pretty much on target. Tyler Davis can't bring it in, and the deflection ends up going for an interception. You talked about the one with Doubs along the sideline. Also a third down play, if I recall correctly. Not an easy catch. Maybe the ball could have been in a better spot, but Doubs almost is able to get it. Not a pass that in any normal circumstance is going to get intercepted, except for the way in which the play unfolded as the two players went to the ground. The one that Jordan Love, of course, is going to be kicking himself about is the third interception. Now, we heard from Matt LaFleur afterward that two guys ran the wrong route on the play. And again, this was another third down, excuse me, a little bit of a do or die situation as far as that drive goes. Two guys ran the wrong route. The only guy who was running the correct route was Amari Rodgers, but he wasn't open. Jordan Love tried to force it in there to him anyway. The pass was a little bit behind him and ends up getting picked off by the cornerback. That was the one that hurt, because I really felt up until that moment that Jordan Love had put together, statistics aside, had put together a pretty solid performance. Now, to his credit, after that interception on the throw to Rodgers, He came back, directed the two-minute drive, the back shoulder throw to Danny Davis. They end up getting a touchdown before the half. So the bounce back from what really was probably his worst throw of the night was there for Jordan Love. But on balance, overall, I thought we saw way more of Jordan Love and what his capabilities are in this one half of football than anything we saw last season in his second year in the league.
Yeah, I mean, whether it was the two preseason games or that start against Kansas City, I said it, and I don't apologize for it. I said I want to see Jordan Love play fast and free.
Yeah.
And whatever happens, happens. It's a preseason game, people. Like, you want to actually see this young man actually play the position. Because ultimately, when Tom Clements and Aaron Rodgers and everybody goes back in that quarterback room, that's the tape that you can coach off of. You can't coach off of just five-yard out routes and stuff underneath. You need to allow him to play downfield a little bit. And he did that in this game. The thing that was most surprising to me, though, is that the most erratic moments for him actually seemed to be just working out into the flat. There were some plays there that I think could have been made. And as LaFleur said, I mean, some of these receivers need to make these catches too, but that, including on the interception that became an interception, the ball wasn't exactly where you wanted it.
Yeah.
The third one, it's just dealing with adversity. And maybe if there's one thing you could, put down the negative for is, well, maybe that's just where you got to just get out of the play, throw the ball away, whatever you got to do.
Yeah, LaFleur said, I believe on Sunday in his press conference before practice, he said that's just one where when a couple of routes go haywire and the one guy who is running the correct route is covered and it's not there, you just have to go off schedule.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just throw the ball away from the pocket, right? Because you're going to risk the intentional grounding. That makes everything worse. But go off schedule, get out of the pocket, try to reconnect eye contact with the receivers to get into the scramble drill, and maybe something happens there. So that was the downfall there where he forced it. But also, I will say with regard to Jordan Love, we've seen him, and he's talked about it at his locker with reporters. He doesn't want the tuck it and run to be the first instinct all the time. He knows that he needs to stand in the pocket and deliver the throws. And these are the things that a young quarterback learns. Having that mindset in training camp and in practice is definitely important for his development. You get into the game situation and there are going to be situations where, yes, the extended play, the tuck it and run and stay alive to fight another down kind of thing has to be what takes over in certain moments. And the only way you learn that is just to play. You're not going to learn that on the practice field, quite frankly, because you don't get sacked. You don't get hit. You know, you're wearing the red jersey. So, and this is a young man now. He's only in his career. He's only played three preseason games, and he's only played one and a half games of regular season football. So there's still a long way to go here for Jordan Love. But to me, I was definitely encouraged by what I saw because we did not see the same quarterback we saw last year.
No. We saw what we've seen, the quarterback that at intervals we've seen him play and be able to make plays downfield, and he certainly has the arm. I thought this game, more than any other moment, really demonstrated his arm strength. Not just about 50-yard bombs or 33-yard touchdown passes. I'm talking about just having some zing on a pass across the middle. I mean, that really impressed me. And to be honest with you, Mike, something we don't talk enough about, Jordan Love now is going to be able to play in back-to-back games for the first time. He had the injury last year and was held out of that game against Houston with the shoulder.
Right.
So, like, he's actually going to be able to really build on this, and that's what I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah, I want to shift gears to the defense, but a little bit of sponsor business here first, Wes. SiriusXM NFL Radio delivers hard-hitting analysis and up-to-the-minute NFL news that true football fanatics need 24/7, 365. And at Cousin Subs, we have something for everyone, like our Wisconsin cheese curds, mac and cheese, golden fries, and creamy shakes, all paired with your favorite sub or sub in a bowl. Cousin Subs, 50 years of better. All right, on the defensive side, two big plays allowed for touchdowns with some coverage busts. Those were black eyes for the performance of this defense, unfortunately. The young players that I thought stood out, that sort of jumped out in terms of their effort and their production in this game, four guys to me. Isaiah McDuffie at inside linebacker, Kingsley Enagbare at outside linebacker, and then two young defensive linemen, TJ Slayton and Jack Heflin. I thought those four young players who are trying to work their way into whether it's roster spots, potential playing time, all of that through this training camp. I thought those four young men on the defensive side of the ball all made a statement of sorts, giving themselves something to continue to build on here the rest of the preseason, because now it's not just about, okay, here you have this game film. Now do you have another one you can put alongside of it to show that you're the same guy?
And Inning Bari is probably the one that I was most excited about coming out of this game. And he didn't draw a lot of the headlines because, one, there weren't really a lot of people there to write the headlines. It was just us. And I didn't catch him in the locker room, so that's how that happens. No, but he got a lot of pressure. I thought he pushed the pocket well, and then he carried that over. Monday he had probably his best practice in Green Bay. I mean, that he might have had two or three sacks. And then Matt LaFleur, even after a little bit of argument in the meeting room, admitted he might have had two sacks on
He was single-handedly trying to wreck that two-minute drill by Rodgers in the offense. Although I did see in the locker room Rodgers giving him the business a little bit about, like, hey, don't assume that those were going to be sacks kind of thing. Like, from about halfway across the locker room, they were kind of jawing in a friendly way, jawing back and forth a little bit as to just how those plays might have finished on the practice field. But anyway, the veteran quarterback, the rookie pass rusher, certainly making a connection.
But that's what you want to see from a fifth-round pick and being able to really learn and grow. He hadn't had a lot of opportunities in OTAs and the non-contact stuff. He put the pads on. I think you're really seeing the kind of player that he is. Defensive line wowed me in this game because Devontae Wyatt going through was being evaluated for concussion, was not he didn't practice going into the game. They held him out even though he was back on the practice field on Sunday. That meant it was a lot of, you know, Chris Slayton. It was a lot of TJ Slayton. I mean, and then certainly Jack Heflin has been this workhorse for them. That really shows up in these preseason games. And
yeah, those guys played a lot of snaps, and I thought they really balled out all night long. For when you go from getting maybe 12 or 15, 11 on 11 reps in a practice to suddenly you're playing 30 or 40 snaps in a preseason game, that's a big transition to make. And yeah, they got tired in the fourth quarter, understandably so. But for the bulk of the game, I thought the Packers' defensive front held up quite well.
And Trey Sermon is a legitimate running back. The Packers saw him as a starter last season. I think he was a third-round pick coming into the league. I mean, that was a good back that they were facing. And then by them being able to fill their gaps and do their assignments, that's where I thought opened up things for Isaiah McDuffie. And McDuffie showing that he is a tackling machine. It's what he was in college, and he's doing it again in these opportunities.
Yeah, six tackles and 26 snaps. That's pretty productive work there. Now, that's how the defense is designed to work with regard to defending the run. But I thought McDuffie, again, a guy, he's now a second-year player, looking a lot different from the rookie who was sort of that barely heard from sixth-round pick out of Boston College last year.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game, bro.
I know we're tight on time here today, but I do want to just address one more thing before we go, and that is that we are about to head out for the first of two joint practices against the New Orleans Saints. Practices Tuesday and Wednesday, and then the preseason game on Friday night at Lambeau Field. Just quickly, what are you keeping an eye on with regard to these joint practices?
Really how the offense looks, the number one offense against the Saints' number one defense. Saints actually have a really good unit, too. Statistically, I think they were even better than Green Bay in terms of the total yardage last season and points. So it's not going to be any less of a challenge than what they've faced the last few weeks. But how do the rookie receivers respond to that? You know, who steps up in this setting? And what kind of plays does Matt LaFleur and this offense want to get in? Then I also just want to say Jair Alexander versus Michael Thomas is going to be a main storyline these next 2 days. Watching that battle, watching the one-on-ones, I have to imagine it's going to be good on good there, and I know Jair is really excited about it.
Yeah, I think if the way things are set up on the practice field is similar to the way it was against the Jets in the joint practices last year, you'll probably be watching the Packers' number one offense. I'll be, you know, with my eyes trained toward the other end of the field and the number one defense. And yeah, I'm excited to see, you know, because simply we didn't see last year Eric Stokes, Jair Alexander, and Rasul Douglas as three cornerbacks on the field together.
Eight
snaps in the playoff game. Yeah. That was it. And of course they weren't playing in the preseason opener. So as you said, Michael Thomas, the Saints offense, the way this Packers cornerback group lines up against those guys and how that goes, that's going to be, I think, fun to watch the next couple of days.
Yeah, it's going to be worth the price of admission alone, which, by the way, is free.
It's free, absolutely. Well, I apologize for the short show today. We just happened to be really tight on time because of all the stuff going on with the Saints and the joint practices.
We didn't pay for the lighting. That was the issue. You can just be honest about it.
Okay.
Yeah, we ran out of time and cash.
But we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage. Continue to follow it on Packers.com. We've got everything for you. Training camp, preseason games, all of it on the website. For Wes, I'm Mike. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.